Amen. All right, let me get your attention for just a moment. Actually, that's not true. Let me have your attention for the next 45 minutes. But first for this, on October the 5th, we will be having the privilege of hosting a 79 to 80 voice choir from Cedarville University. So the Jubilate Choir will be with us on that Sunday morning, and there will be one service on that Sunday morning. One service on July, on October the 5th, okay? So we'll be in the 11 o'clock service. So here's what we want to do on that day. We want to play the game of sardines in the church. Now, how many of you grew up playing hide-and-go-seek? Raise your hand. Okay, sardines is exactly the opposite of hide-and-go-seek. Hide-and-go-seek is what church members play every Sunday. We hide and you find us. But we want to play sardines. Sardines is a game where instead of hiding from one another, you try to get as many people in one place as you possibly can get, and you pack them in like sardines. And so on Sunday, October the 5th, on High Attendance Sunday, I want to encourage you to invite guests, friends, neighbors, family to come and play, if you will, sardines with you as we have our High Attendance Day. I'm going to have my mother with me on that Sunday and my cousins from Germany. And so I'm looking forward to having them with us as they hear the Word of God sung and then proclaimed. So you'll join us on that Sunday, the 5th of October, for High Attendance Sunday. And so, a word to the wise being sufficient. How many of you in this room know that this month we're emphasizing Sunday school? I want to see if we've managed to communicate that to you. How many of you know we're emphasizing Sunday school during this entire month? And last week we, thank you for raising your hands, last week we talked about senior adult Sunday school and the classes and faithful teachers. In our first service, we recognized our teachers in our adult division, and we had a person who's been teaching adults in Sunday school for 51 years. Not all in this church, but total 51 years, and since 1979 in this church. If you're a Sunday school teacher in our adult division, that's young adult two, meet adults, so if you're involved in that age group after college and before seasoned citizen, if you're a teacher in that group, would you do us a favor simply to standing at this point in time? Please stand. We want to recognize you. All right, yes, please stand. That's right. Okay, Lisa, I see your lovely face. Where's your hubby? He's digging down the money downstairs. But Trey and Lisa are also teachers in our adult division. How many of you, I see other adult teachers. Stand up over here, okay? Art, stand up, son. Okay? All right. Now, here's what I want to do. Wow, you people are really quick to sit back down. If you've been teaching for 5 years or more, would you just stay standing? 5 or more years in our adult Sunday school. 10 or more years in our adult Sunday school. 15 or more in adult Sunday school. 20 or more in adult Sunday school. 25 or more in adult Sunday school. 30 or more in adult Sunday school. Hobart, how many years has this been? 47 years in being faithful and teaching. Amen. We've been emphasizing the importance of Sunday school and small groups this month, and we want to give honor to those who deserve honor, who've been found faithful in doing what God's called them to do Sunday after Sunday. This morning's message comes to you from the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 26 through 40, and I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of Sunday schools that change lives. Sunday school that changes lives. Let's pray together. Our Father and God, in the blessed name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you for the privilege again of being in your word. Lord, the book of Amos tells us that there will come a day when there will be a famine in the land, not for food or for drink, but a famine for the word of God. We are living in that day before our very eyes. While we may print more Bibles than we've ever printed before, there are fewer and fewer people who are studying, who are learning and growing. And there's a famine in the land from the word of God. Around the world, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are dying for naming the name of Jesus and who are desperate to hear a word from you. This morning, Father, help us to consider our privilege to be able to gather with a copy of the word of God in our own language, that we may read and know what is the will of the true and living God. Father, this morning now we thank you for those who have been found faithful, teaching and instructing and encouraging in the word of God, those who are in their classes. Father, may they be blessed beyond all measure, and may their classes, Father, be blessed for being in their presence. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Now speak in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. I'm talking to you this morning about Sunday schools that change lives. The first thing I see from our text this morning is that if a Sunday school is going to change lives, it must be led by a surrendered servant. It must be led by a surrendered servant. Look at verse 26 for just a moment. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And then again in verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. We see from the word of God that Philip was a surrendered servant to the true and living God. In fact, I want you to go back to verse 4 in this same chapter. And what you will see is that Philip was a great evangelist that God had sent to the Samaritan peoples. And he had come down from Jerusalem and there began to preach Jesus to the Samaritans. And listen to what the word of God says. It says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Notice that Philip is preaching in Samaria, and there is a great revival taking place. He has been obedient to leave Jerusalem and go to Samaria, and there he has been obedient in proclaiming the word of God, and God has used that obedience to transform an entire city. And because of his ministry there, there was great joy. Now, out of that ministry, as he is being led of the Spirit and he's preaching in Samaria, and the field is fertile, and people are coming to know Christ, and there's great blessing, something happens. The angel of the Lord comes to him and says, you need to leave this work and go down to the desert. Now, the Bible is very good at an economy of words. Notice it says, this is a desert place. It means there's nobody around. He's coming from a work that God is blessing in a major urban area, and God takes him from there and puts him on a desert trail south for one person. Now, that's just not the way we think, is it? The way we think is that the more is better. And surely if God's blessing so tremendously here, I need to stay here until this and ride this wave until it's finished. I don't need to leave anywhere. I need to just plant my life here and stay here. But Philip doesn't do that. Philip is surrendered to the will of God, and so he obeys the angelic command. And then not only does he obey the angelic command to go to the desert place, but notice once he gets there, the Spirit says, go up and overtake the chariot, to go and to go to this Ethiopian eunuch and to overtake his chariot and to tell him the good news. And notice this phrase. This is very important. Look at verse 30. Philip is not pouting because he had to leave Samaria. Notice what it says. It says he ran to him. Philip was excited for the privilege of being used of God to proclaim the truth of God to a multitude in Samaria, but also to one Ethiopian on the backside of nowhere. Beloved, every class ought to be able to say of their teacher, whether there's one in the room or a thousand in the room, they are giving it all they've got all the time. There ought to be an excitement about a teacher that's infectious. You're excited. God has spoken to you. You've been in the Word of God. You've prepared a lesson. You're ready to feed your class. You're ready to feed the people of God. And when God says, pardon the expression, God says, go get them. Philip is like the old idea. He's like saying, sick them to a bulldog. He's so excited to be able to do what God wants him to do. He is a fit tool in the hands of God. And every Sunday school class that's going to make a difference in people's lives will have a teacher in that class that is a surrendered servant of God who is willing to be a tool, an instrument in the hands of God by first making themselves available. Philip left Samaria and went to the desert place. But secondly, not only is he making himself available, he's being obedient to the commands of God. He's willing to say what God once said, to say it when God wants it said, and for the glory of God. Every Sunday school class that makes a difference for the kingdom has a leader, has a teacher, someone in that room that's willing to surrender themselves to the work and the will of God in order that people's lives will be blessed. Every Sunday school that's going to make a difference, it's going to change lives, will have a surrendered servant in it. But something else, not only will it have a surrendered servant, it will have a seeking student. Look at what it says in verse 27. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And by the way, this is not modern day Ethiopia. This would be what we would call modern-day Sudan, a very large area. And he was in charge of all of her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet when the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake him. Now, I want you to understand a couple things about this person. First, I want you to notice that the Bible says he was a eunuch. That is, that he had been castrated. He had been made a eunuch by someone in the court, so that he was not able to have a family. He was not able to have children. But not only that, but if you read the Word of God, according to the Scriptures, he was banned because of that from being in the temple. He could not even go to the court of the Gentiles. He was banned from the Temple Mount, from being in the presence of God. But notice what it says. It says that even in spite of that, he went to Jerusalem for a purpose. He wanted to worship God. So even though he was denied access to the temple, it did not stop him from worshiping the true and living God. And he went to Jerusalem to do so and did, as far as we know, accomplish that which he had purposed in his heart to do. That he had come with the express purpose to worship God and to be before the true and living God. But notice something else about this man. Notice that he was a man of certain status and was a wealthy individual. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that he was reading from the scriptures. He was reading his own scroll. So even though he was banned from worshiping at the temple, he had out of his own pocket purchased a scroll of the Word of God. Now you need to understand, this is before the day of mass printing presses. Before you could go down to the Kinko's and print anything you want and as many copies as you want. Only the very wealthy could afford books of the Word of God because it was all handwritten on vellum. And so he had purposed to worship God, and he had purchased his own copy of the Word of God. And notice something else about him. He apparently had learned the Hebrew language, because the Hebrews didn't copy the scrolls in non-Hebrew. They copied them in their language. And the Bible says what? That he was reading the text. And you need to understand how they did that. They didn't just put their glasses on and quietly do this. They would, as was the practice, they would read aloud the text. So this is how Philip knew what he was reading. He was listening to him read. So at great personal expense, in spite of all of the obstacles, this eunuch was reaching out, was seeking to be a God-fearing worshiper of the word, from the Word of God. And every teacher ought to expect of everyone who comes to their class that you have come there with a desire to know God at a deeper level than before. If you have the right to expect that your teacher in that Sunday school class is submitted unto God and surrendered to the things of God and has a heart that's filled with the passion of God and with the message of God, if you, the student, have the right to expect that of your teacher, they have every right to expect of you that you will be there ready to study the Word of God, prepared for every moment that God would speak to your heart, to worship the true and living God, and to pay the price to be able to do that. You see, one of the things that you need to understand is this, and that is that whatever you get out of a class is usually what you bring to the class. Whatever you get out of the sermon is usually what you bring to the sermon. What do I mean by that? Is if you come expectant, hoping, desperate for God to speak, guess what? God may have to get a Philip out of a revival in Samaria and place him in the desert for you, but he'll see to it that you get a word from God. But you have to be a seeking student. You have to be one who's seeking after God like this Ethiopian eunuch. He was a student of the word. Notice it says in verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you, teachers, tell me if this is not the greatest question ever. Do you understand what you're reading?" I'm telling you what. If you can't teach after getting the response the Ethiopians get about to give him, you have no teach in you. Notice what the Ethiopian says in answer to his question. And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me. Teachers, it ought to be in your heart that as you spend time with those that God gives you in your class, that your goal is to guide them in the Word of God so that they encounter God in His Word, that they encounter the true and living one who inspired the Word. And notice this. It isn't just happenstance. It's not just any passage that he is reading from. He is reading from the suffering servant passages of Isaiah, which you will not find a clearer picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ than in Isaiah 53. And as he is seeking God, he is reading of the suffering servant. He's reading about Jesus. And notice the third thing that happens. In verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. That's the third thing that a Sunday school class is going to change lives has to have. There has to be a saving message from the Word of God. Notice he takes him in this passage. It says, and he began to teach him. Teachers, students, you ought to know that no matter where you go in the Word of God, you will find Jesus there. No matter where you go, because Jesus said of the Scriptures, these are they which bear witness of me. And you ought to help your class, and you ought to help your students, and you ought to help your teacher to get as cross-country as you can in the Word of God to get to Jesus. There is a message that must be proclaimed. It is the message of the life-transforming power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It must become the priority of every Sunday school that people's lives be transformed by an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we used to say of Sunday school that we teach people the Bible in order that they may come to know Jesus Christ. That the purpose of teaching the Word of God is so people can see Jesus in the Word of God. Sunday after Sunday, no matter where I'm at, my goal is to help you see Jesus in this text. And no text could be clearer of that than Isaiah 53. Notice the description. He was like a sheep led to slaughter. As a lamb was silent before its shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The Word of God, the saving message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's the content of that saving message. The content is Jesus. It is the gospel. He proclaimed to him Jesus. But notice something else. Not only was the content there, but the conviction was there. Notice, as soon as he does that, what does the Ethiopian say? Verse 36, now they went down the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look at verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Notice the conviction that takes place. He hears the message of the gospel. Jesus has magnified his death on the cross, his resurrection, and the hope that is found in Jesus. And this Ethiopian eunuch asks a very important question. He says, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now, you need to understand the context here. We give public invitations. We give what are called altar calls. And we ask people to come and receive the Lord Jesus, to make that public. But in the first century, how did you do that? You know, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't say, now all y'all bow your heads. And as we sing, just as I am, those of you who want to deal with God, come forward. Jesus didn't do that. No indication anywhere the apostles did that. So how did one make public their profession of faith? Because Jesus said that a public profession was necessary. I'm asking you a question. Here's how they did it. Through their public baptism. They were baptized publicly as they identified with the Lord Jesus. That's why he says, here's water, what prevents me from being baptized? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I understand now, and I want to be identified with this Jesus. And so Philip asks, like any good preacher, before you baptize anyone, do you believe with all your heart? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, absolutely. And then they built a Baptist church and baptized him in the baptistry. No, but they did baptize him as a believer. The symbol of a changed life. The symbol of a converted life was his baptism. It didn't make him a Christian, but it did symbolize that he was. And we ought, as people of God, to understand the significance of that. And by the way, just for what it's worth, if you are a child of God this morning, God expects you to be baptized as a believer. He expects you to be baptized as a believer by immersion. But there was this proclaiming of the message of Jesus for the purpose that his heart, his life would be transformed. That ought to be the purpose of every Sunday school class. To see people's lives changed. For those who don't know Jesus, that they might come to know him. For those that do know him, that they might walk closer with him. And day by day, week by week, moment by moment, become more like him. And I love what it says here at the end. Don't miss this. This is important. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. So the gospel is now going back to Africa with this eunuch as he rejoices. But notice something else. And Philip was found at Azotus. What was Philip found doing? Preaching the message of the gospel. A surrendered servant, a seeking student, and a saving message. All must be a part of a Sunday school that changes lives. If you've never encountered the living Lord Jesus, then you desperately need someone to take the word of God with you and share with you how you can come to know the Jesus who the Bible speaks about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, about his sinless and perfect birth of a virgin, of his return to judge the living and the dead. You need to know these things because these things are a matter of eternal consequence. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to ask what this Ethiopian asked. And that was simply, who is it that this word of God is talking about? Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? You need to know that it's about someone else. This book, this word is about the word who came from God as the Son of God in the world. And you need to come to saving faith in him. You need to come to that moment where your life is transformed. Maybe this morning you need to do that. Maybe this morning you're like the Ethiopian eunuch. You need someone to guide you. You're a child of God, but you've been trying to do it on your own for so long, and you just keep messing up. And you need to commit your heart and life to be involved in ongoing Bible study, to be involved in a Sunday school class, to say, I've tried it on my own, I'm withering on the vine, and I need others around me. You need someone to guide you, and you need to make that commitment this morning, to commit to be involved in Sunday school class, to be involved as a seeking student of the Word of God. Maybe as a teacher, you need to recommit to being surrendered to the purpose of God. Some of us have been teaching a long time. If it doesn't get you excited when you look at the Word of God, and when God gives you a word for your students, if that no longer gets you excited about the things of God, it's time to resurrender. It's time to say, God, I've been going through the motions. And it's no wonder nobody wants to attend my class because I'm bored with my class as it is. And the biggest problem in my class is me. And I need a fresh word and a fresh work of the Word of God in my life so that when my students come, I have something for them from you. Maybe you're looking for a church home. We invite you to come, be a part of this fellowship, be a part of this family of God, to plant your life here, to get under the teaching of the Word of God so that you become more and more like Jesus as the Word of God is opened up to you. Maybe some of you are like the Ethiopian eunuch. You believe and you need to be baptized. You've never parted the baptismal waters because you think that baptism is not necessary for salvation. It's unnecessary, and that's not true. It's not necessary for salvation, but it is not an unnecessary act. It is necessary for believers to identify with Jesus and to do so publicly. If you've never been baptized as a believer, you need to be baptized this morning. Let's stand around the room. As our musicians come and we sing this hymn of invitation, I'm going to say to you what Philip said. As he took the Word of God, he said, it's all about Jesus. And this morning there's an invitation, it's all about Jesus. Will you do what he has called you to do this day? Father in God, this is your invitation to do what needs to be done, to transform hearts and lives, to convict us where we have failed you, to convince us of our need for you, and to once again to draw us close to the Master. Help us to see Jesus high and lifted up as one who calls all to himself, as one who purchased by his own blood our souls. Father, do it in Jesus' name as we ask it, as we sing.